हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीदक्षिणामूर्तिस्वरूपाय श्रीदयानन्दरूपाय परमगुरवे परमात्मने So in Panchadashi, we are seeing the second chapter, which is Panchabhuta Viveka Prakaranam, wherein the five elements and the elementals are analyzed. And we should not forget the ultimate purpose of analyzing the elements is to arrive at the truth of the elemental universe in terms of pure existence. The Brahman, and that seeing that by seeing one's own self being non-separate from that truth. This is the purpose. We should not forget the lose sight of division because we have humbly gone away from the teaching now. And in the process, we have come up to how Sat, the pure existence, the whole universe is Brahman. The existence, but with Namarupa, Namarupa Karma, and cognitively, if we delete the Namarupa Karma, what is there is pure existence, which is Brahman. And this existence, the absolute reality, obtaining in term of existence, is free from threefold differences. So, Sajatiya Bhedaha, Vijatiya Bhedaha, Swagata Bhedaha. All these differences are not there in the part of Brahman. Therefore, and being free from Swagata Bheda, Sajatiya Bheda, Vijatiya Bheda, and Brahman is one secondless non-dual reality that is established here. But after that, there's a diversion comes. And what is a diversion? When you say all that before this universe came into existence, what was there was this Sat Brahma, and the same Sat Brahma now is here in the form of the universe. Brahman, the reality was there before, and the same reality is now in the form of the universe. Which means the entire universe is only appearance, the manifestation of that reality. Which means nothing has been created newly. That is what is taught. What is taught is nothing is created. There is no creation. It is only manifestation. So even the form, name and functions, nama, rupa, karma, they were before unmanifest and then they become manifest. So this unmanifest Namarupa Karma becoming manifest is creation. Again, this manifest Namarupa Karma becoming unmanifest is dissolution. And for this manifestation dissolution to take place, there must be some substratum, Adhara. And the substratum is Brahman, which is eternal truth, reality. Therefore, there is no creation, only manifestation. This is what is established by Advaita Acharyas. But in between, our Vidyaranya Swami, it is a diversion to talk about Bauddhas. And now I told you, the four branches of Buddhism, and there again we have Madhyamika Bauddhaha, and who are called Shunyavadinaha. What do they do? And for them, they are confused about it. Therefore, from after this 25th verse, 26th onwards, until the 35th, there's a refutation of Shunyavada, but still slowly he's taking. And I think last class we saw the 27th verse also. Just read this 26th and 27th verses, then we'll continue with this.
Ekamevadvitiyam sat. Ekamevadvitiyam sat. Siddhamatratu kechana. Siddhamatratu kechana. Vihvala. Vihvala. Asadevedam. Asadevedam. Purasidityavarnayan. Purasidityavarnayan.
So here, after having thoroughly understood here, ekameva advitiyam sat iti siddham. This fact has become very clear that what was there was only secondless non-dual reality. This is very clear. But still, what happens? Kechana, there are some people, they are confused, deluded, vihvalaha, and what do they say? No, nothing was there before this universe came into existence. Nothing was there. Asadeva idam pura asit. Means what? Nothing was there before. Which means the universe has come into existence newly. Okay? Pura asiti avarnayan. Now, why is it happening? And here Vidyaranya Swami gives the reason for this. Why do this Madhyamika Bauddhas, the Shunyavadinaha, say that nothing was there before? No? Why Shunyavadi? Nothing was there before the universe came into existence. There was nothing. Why do they hold on to that view of non-existence or nihilism? Isn't it? That is explained. He gives the reason in the 27th verse.
Magnasyabdhau yatakshani. Magnasyabdhau yatakshani. Vihvalani tathasyadhihi. Vihvalani tathasyadhihi. Akhandaikarasam sutva. Akhandaikarasam sutva. Nishprachara bibhetyataha. Nishprachara bibhetyataha.
So what he says, it is reason, Shankar, here the reason is given. Why is it that the Shunyavadinaha hold on to the view of non-existence, nothingness? The reason he gives, yatha magnasya abdau magnasya akshani vihvalani bhavanti. Abdihi means ocean. So I'm going out of the thing also. Up means water. And abdihi means that which is filled with water is abdihi. So abdau in the oceans, locative case, abdau magnaha. Magnaha means one who is engrossed or one who is immersed, one who has drowned, is called magnaha. Abdau magnasya, for the person who has drowned in water or who is diving deep into the water, for him, akshani vihvalani, all his sense organs, mainly his eyes, become what now, actually blurred. He cannot see things clearly. Even when you are inside the water, your eyes are not covered with anything, but still you cannot see everything clearly because vision becomes blurred when you are drowning in the water. Akshani vihvalani. In the same tatha, similarly, asya dhihi, this person's intellect, which person's intellect? Shunyavadi's intellect, Madhyamika Bodha's intellect also, is now deluded. Which means he is not able to, it's not sharp enough to see things clearly. Like the sense organs of the person who is drowning in the water, who is drowned in the water, who is immersed in the water, cannot see things clearly. When he is on the shore, he can see everything very clearly. When he goes into the water, he cannot see things. Similarly, this person is Shunyavadi also. Magdihi, Asya Dihi, his intellect is also what now? He's deluded, confused. Akhanda Ekarasam Shutva. When he listens to the unfoldment of the, you know, the reality, no, oneness of the truth, or the limitlessness of the reality, or infinitude of the reality, no, this reality being one indivisible partless soul, akhanda ekarasam, all that is, there is only the reality, and which is of the nature of pure knowledge, and which alone is there in the existence of everything, and which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is free from time, space, object limitations. When he listens to this, there's nothing other than the reality. So Advaitam, Akhanda Ekarasam, the only essence, essential reality. Rasa means essence. The only truth, the essential truth, the nature of everything is one indivisible partless soul. When he listens to and understands, then what happens? His buddhi also, Nishprachara. Nishprachara means what now? It becomes non-functional. It becomes sort of a blur. It becomes incapable of understanding this fact. So Buddhist is not an ordinary person. Buddhist is quite intelligent fellow. But still, this Akhanda Ekarasam Shutva, he is not able to absorb that, understand that, or take it. Nishpracharaha, it means all his, the intellect becomes Nishprachara, Dihi Nishprachara Bhavati. Or his, no, he becomes non-functional, or becomes sort of confused, deluded. You know, it's incapable of grasping the truth, oneness of the truth. And therefore, ataha bibheti, he is afraid. The Shunyavadi is afraid of, you know, accepting the vision of non-duality of the reality. The Shunyavadi is afraid, Bibheti is afraid of accepting the non-duality of the reality. Why? Why is it possible? Why it's happening? It's going to say in the next verse. Let us see that now. Gaudacharya Nirvikalpe. Gaudacharya Nirvikalpe. Samadhavanya yoginam, samadhavanya yoginam, gaudacharya nirvikalpe, gaudacharya nirvikalpe, samadhavanya yoginam, samadhavanya yoginam. Sakara Brahmanishthanam, Sakara Brahmanishthanam, Atyantam Bhayamuchire, Atyantam Bhayamuchire. So here, Sakara Brahmanishthanam, Sakara Brahmanishthanam, Atyantam Bhayamuchire, Atyantam Bhayamuchire. See, why Bhayam, Bibheti, Bibheti? See, the word Bibheti, the verb itself is a little confusing verb, okay? Because Bhi means fear. And this is a third conjugation root, bhi. So, bibheti, bibhitaha bibhiti. Gacchati, gacchataha, gacchanti, like that. You don't get singular, dual, plural. Ti, taha, ante is easy to understand. But this one verb, bibheti, singular verb, gets frightened. Then, bibhitaha, dual. And bibhyate, plural. No, ante here. Bibhyati. It sounds like a singular verb. Okay? The verb is, anyway. But we'll see later on. I don't want to introduce the grammar, but still. So why there is fear? See, for ordinary people, why the reasons are given, not here. Generally, Shankara Bhagavad also says, Advaita Darshanam is very frightening for an immature person. You know, people cannot accept the vision of non-duality, understand non-duality, the oneness of the truth. They can accept, understand, or really if they understand what now, this is difficult for them to ascertain, it's very frightening. It needs a tremendous amount of strength. One must be highly mature to be interested, to be inclined for this knowledge and to be able to accept and understand this vision of non-duality of the truth. So, Veda itself, Veda Shastram, accepts the immaturity of the people. It is very natural for the majority, 99% of the people will be very natural for them to be, you know, afraid of this vision of non-duality. It is not for everybody. Therefore, Veda itself accepts the people's interest, accept the immaturity, accept the incapacity to understand this vision. Therefore, Veda itself allows enough time, gives enough time. But Veda makes one thing very, very clear. Unless and until one discovers this truth being non-dual and one, secondless reality, and resolves one's individuality and sees that everything being the only manifest and only truth, only in that vision there's real happiness, real peace. Therefore, Shastram aims everybody, wants to help every individual finally to grow and to understand the fact, accept the fact, and revel in that vision. Enjoy the benefit of that vision of non-duality of the reality. This way, the whole Karma Kanda, the most voluminous, the biggest portion of Veda is what now Karma Kanda. Veda itself prescribes karma rituals. Veda itself prescribes upasanam, wherein upasaka Veda is there. The worship is known. The worship is recommended. Prayer is recommended. Rituals are recommended. Why? It is mainly for the person to grow. So the one person will take enough time. Okay, whole janma, you don't need to come for Advaita Darshanam, don't need to accept it, don't worry. But anyway, live a life of dharma and then you enjoy. So live this life. Do any amount of rituals, enjoy everything and be comfortable and feel secure in having what? In having Bhagavan who is different from me. Isn't it? People like it. Very natural for people to have it. So Dvaitam is very, people feel very secure in having the Dvaitam. In accepting the Dvaitam. It's like saying, no, suppose, hey, I really want to taste sugar candy. Swamiji's example. I want to taste sugar candy. So I want to taste sugar candy means what? I am different from sugar candy. Sugar candy is different, isn't it? But suppose instead of saying, why do you want to taste sugar candy? You are sugar itself. Which is told, then my God, I am sugar myself. Which means you lose what? You cannot taste it. There's a fear comes. I cannot taste it. I am deprived of taste. Similarly, if you say, you know, I want to be happy. Come on, why do you want to be happy? You are happiness yourself. Which means, oh my God, I'm deprived of being happy. there's some sort of, you know, immaturity that prevents one to accept it. The same way, you are Bhagavan. I want to worship the Lord. I want to be the eternal servitor of the Lord, Godhead. I want to worship the Lord. I want to be different from the Lord. I want to pray to the Lord. I want to serve Bhagavan. Another word, okay? I want to serve the Lord. That's fine. You have to worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, serve the Lord, fine. But finally, one day you have to understand you are non-separate from Bhagavan. You are God yourself. Why you are non-separate from Bhagavan? Oh my God. Again, there's a fear comes. In being different, because I feel secure. As long as I remain as worshipper of the God, as the one who is praying to the God, I feel very secure. And in feeling, when you say you are God, means you cannot hold on to anything else. Therefore, it needs a certain preparation on the part of the intellect, sharpen the part of the intellect to accept this vision, to revel in the vision, so to be free from fear of that vision. Very frightening for an immature intellect. So, Shastram wants the intellect to be adequately mature, adequately grown. No? That's why the whole karma kanda is prescribed. And enjoy as long as how long, leave this janma, come back again next janma, come back next janma, janma after janma you can come back. And because of the inclinations in Vedic culture, again, you can continue to be a Vaidika throughout, but be performing rituals, praying and worshipping, everything. May practice meditations and enjoy all forms of benefits of karma and upasana. But still, Dvaitam will be there continually. As long as there's Dvaita Darshanam, so long will there be continuity of sense of insecurity, sense of fear, sense of limitations, centered on I. Doesn't matter how great religious person you are, how accomplished religious you are, and as long as there's division, I am different from the Lord, Lord is different from me, I am different from the whole, the whole is different from me, as long as there is dvaita, dvaita drishtihi, dvaita darshanam, so long will there be sense of insecurity, sense of limitation, sense of unhappiness centered on I. Irrespective of what you have achieved, what you have not achieved. It will be there. Very natural for a person to be like that because it means maturity. No, it only, there's tremendous amount of maturity one needs. So here, in this verse, Gauda, now, Vidyaranya Swami lived only in 13th, 14th centuries, very late. And Gaudapada Acharya, he says, Gaudapada Acharya was Shankara's teacher's teacher. Shankara's, Adi Shankara Baba, grand guru. And he quotes his words. Now he mentions Gaudapada Acharya's vision expressed in his Mandukya Karika. What is that? Gaudapada Acharya, Nirvikalpe samadhau anya yoginam sakara brahmanishthanam atyantam bhayam uchire. So Gaudapada Acharya has specifically mentioned that how these people who are given to the Dvaita Bhakti are very much scared, very much afraid, frightened by Uchire. He had already, Uchire means he had mentioned. See, Uchire is a past perfect tense plural verb. Even the singular, in Tamil, we use a plural verb as expression of respect in Sanskritam also. Now, you can simply say, of course, in English, you have all the same, isn't it? For singular, plural verb is the same. He came, they came. He said, they said. There's no difference. In Tamil, we have difference. In Indian languages, we have difference in singular plural verb also, we have difference. And we use the plural verb for the singular, you know why? As an expression of respect. So, Gaudacharyaha again, Gaudapada Acharya, single person, he said, Uchire, he said, what is it? Oh, Atyantam Bhayam. Mm. There is a tremendous amount of fear on the part of Sakara Brahmanishtanam Yoginam. Sakara means Akara. Sakara Brahmanishtaha means Saguna Brahmanishtaha. Saguna Brahmanishtaha means people who are given to the worship and prayer, also the meditation upon the Saguna Brahma. For whom God is an object of worship, object of prayer, which is different from oneself. So Saguna Brahmanishtaha, Sakara Brahmanishtaha means what? Nirakaram Brahma. Nirakaram Brahma means absolute reality, which is of the nature of formlessness. Formless reality is Nirakaram Brahma. Sakaram Brahma means what now? No, the reality with the form. So those who worship the reality, Bhagavan, in a given form, as Sagunam Brahma. Those who worship the Lord as Sagunam Brahma, as a God with the form, you know, or God with attributes. And those people, for them, the God is different from the worshipper. God is worship different from the worshipper. For such people are called Sakara Brahmanishtaha. This is given to the worship of Sagunam Brahma, for whom the God is different from this oneself. For such people, Sakara Brahmanishtanam, and who for people, Atyantam Bhayam Uchire, and they are the people, Yoginam. So Sakara Brahmanishtanam Yoginam. Here the word Yoginam means simple. All the people, the worshippers, the meditators, the Saguna Brahma Upasakas, meditate upon Saguna Brahma, or who perform rituals, and who still see the God as something different from the very self. Such people are called here Sakara Brahmanishtaha Yoginaha. Sakara Brahmanishtanam Yoginam, for those people who are given to the Saguna Brahma Upasanam, for them, Nirvikalpe Samadhau. In Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Atyantam Bhayam. Oh my God, these people are very, very highly frightened of this Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Nirvikalpa Samadhi, he does not mean the actual Samadhi discussed in the Yoga Shastra. Okay? See, even Advaiti talks about Nirvikalpa Samadhi. That is completely different from the Nirvikalpa Samadhi, you know, understood by a yogi, the yoga philosopher. Nirvikalpa Samadhi is there, isn't it? So for an Advaiti, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi means what? Remaining steadfast in the vision of non-duality of the reality is Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So Nirvikalpa Samadhi, for an Advaiti, or Advaita, the person who has the vision of the truth, or who is given to the acceptance of the vision of the reality as unfolded by the Shastra, Advaitins, for him, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, or Nirvikalpa Samadhi means the vision of the non-duality or oneness of the reality. Isn't it? Remaining steadfast in the vision of the non-duality of the reality is what? Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, according to an Advaiti. Whereas, for a person of yoga philosophy, the yoga philosopher, Nirvikalpaka Samadhi means a state of experience. A state of experience is different from the vision of the non-duality of the reality. Isn't it? So, that's why here, Gaudapada Acharya's mention of this Nirvikalpa Samadhi is actually remaining steadfast in the vision of non-duality of the reality. Or you can simply say, the vision of the non-duality of the reality. or non-duality of the reality or oneness of the reality is what? Nirvikalpaka Samadhi, according to Advaita Acharyas. So here Gaudapada Acharyas. And he says, such a non-duality of the reality is something very frightening for these Saguna Brahma Upasakas. People are given to who are still in Dvaitam, the duality. Isn't it? Why it is frightening? Because he doesn't mention it. He only mentions, okay, Gaudapada Acharya also says this. For an Advaiti, for a Dvaiti. Dvaiti means the one who sees the duality, one who sees himself being different from the whole world, sees himself being different from the Lord. You see, for whom the Lord is something different from the self, such a person, therefore, who is given to a very genuine, given to the Vedic way of life, but still he is a Upasaka, is a performer of rituals, isn't it? But still, who still is in the Dvaitam is real for. The person for whom the duality, the perception of duality is still very real. So, Saguna Brahma Upasakaha or Saguna Brahma Nishtaha means Sakara Brahma Nishtaha means the one for whom the perception of duality is still very, very real. He is highly ethical, religious, he may be ethical and religious. He is living, he is following the lifestyle enjoined by the Veda Shastram, the Vaidika, but still, for him, he is still, the perception of duality is real. Therefore, perception of duality is real means what? He is still he is isolates himself as an individual, different from the whole. Very clear. Okay, we don't doubt the person as a Vaidika. He is a clean person. He is a person of values. He knows the life of Dharma. He is highly worshipful, prayerful. He is a clean life enjoyed by the Shastram. That's all fine. Nobody can deny it. Even though he is a Vaidika, still for him, he has not yet gone to Veda Anta Shastram. He is still in Karma Upasana Kandas only. And for such a person, perception of duality is not yet mithya. Perception of duality is still satyam. Therefore, for him, the world is, he sees himself as an isolated individual who is different from the rest of the world. And then very strong, I am different from the world, I am different from the Lord, Lord is different from me, means is a very strong ahankara, very strong mamakara. It's a very strong I sense, very strong my sense. Hey, what is I sense and what is my sense? There is a emotional need to be belonging to somebody. As long as you have a sense of, there's the need, as long as there is a need for a person to be to belong to somebody, I belong to somebody means there is a I sense, ahankara. And somebody else, something else belongs to me means what? Sense of mamakara, my sense. I belong somewhere means ahankara. Isn't it? And somebody else belongs to me means that is mamakara. Mamakara means possessiveness, sense of possession. And said, I sense, my sense. This ahankara and mamakara is what? Itself is because of this duality is very real. See, perception, Shastram does not deny our perception of duality. How can Shastram deny our perception of duality? Such a great treasures of knowledge, Veda Shastram. It can never deny our perception of duality. Only thing is, perception of duality is not real. It's mithya. That is what we are not able to accept and understand. So, that ahankara, strong aham, I sense, is strong my sense. I belong to somebody. I belong somewhere. This is strong I sense, ahankara. Then something else belongs to me. Somebody else belongs to me is a strong my sense. isn't it? Then this will be there as long as this perception of duality is real. And in saying I belong somewhere means I feel very secure. And somebody belongs to me means what? I feel secure. In possessing something, in having something belonging to me, I feel very secure. In feeling that I belong somewhere also, I'm not on my own. I belong somewhere means I feel secure. I don't belong anywhere. Nobody belongs to me. My God, I'm all alone, finished. I feel so insecure. Very frightening. Understand what I'm saying? I'm explaining to you why bibhyati. Is it purely emotional? But this is a fact. From the standpoint of the reality, when you arrive at, where do you belong to? Who do you belong to? Once you know what you are, and you discover you yourself are not there, there's nothing to belong to. You must be there for you. Once you arrive at, analyze the truth, all this using prakriyas, you discover what actually I is, and you resolve the cognitively, not physically, don't do anything, only listen to the teaching, sitting there, completely being objective towards your own body, mind and complex, and you just understand, distinguish the I, and cognitively, intellectually resolve the I in the truth, and there's no I, just mithya. Aham is mithya. This is mithya, which means there's no real I. I itself is knocked off. When the I is knocked off, then how can I belong somewhere? Who do you belong to? Isn't it? See, as long as the wave is seen as a wave, it can say, no, I belong to this wave and that wave and all that. When we say, show, hey, there's no wave. There's only water. Wave is water. In showing that, the waveness is knocked off. Not physically, okay? Intellectually, you see the fact, bitter truth of wave being not there. You see yourself being what now? The truth. There's no such a thing called I other than the truth. Which means I sense is resolved. So you can't belong anywhere. You must be there first of all to belong somewhere. You are not there. How can you belong somewhere? When you are not there, how can something else belong to you? For something else to belong to you, you must be there. For you to belong somewhere, you must be there. So you yourself will be knocked off, resolved. It's an intellectual knocking, isn't it? There's no, sound you should sell this, there's no bigger knocking than this intellectual knocking. Isn't it? Very frightening. Therefore, all these relationships and all will resolve in Advaita. Therefore, Gaudapacharya, what does he say? Nirvikalpe samadhau. Nirvikalpe samadhau. Atyantam bhayam. Nirvikalpe samadhau. Atyantam bhayam. In this in seeing the fact of the reality being one secondless non-dual, in seeing the fact of the reality being one secondless non-dual, where one has to resolve one's own individuality, thereby resolve one's sense of belonging somewhere, and then the I sense and my sense, Ahankara and Mamakara, both have to resolve. Therefore, what happens? It is very frightening for any mature person. That's why one must become very mature. Maturity means what? That is why repeatedly we have to see in this world how much our punyam you accumulate, how much our religious activity you perform, and how much our the big you become, still there will be what? Bhayam. There will be samsara. There's no that fullness. There's no happiness. that you have to repeatedly see. That's why one has to live one's life properly also. Veda Shastram emphasizes that every individual has to live one's life properly. That is why in our India, the system, we always have what? Why go through Brahmacharya Ashrama, then get into Grastha Ashrama, do all your duties, live your life properly, enjoy everything, see the limitations of everything, experience, you know, and then grow. Growth is important. See, for growing, you need to go through the ashramas properly. That is why marriage also is a must. Have, you know, you also contribute for the perpetuation of dharma by having progeny. It's also dharma. At the same time, marriage is for two purposes. You contribute for the perpetuation of dharma by having progeny. At the same time, you grow emotionally. You become mature. That maturity is required for accepting the vision of non-duality later on. As long as you are not even prepared, immature, to understand the vision of non-duality, it means your life is not lived properly. The whole life has to be lived for what? To prepare yourself for this vision. Only in this vision, fear will resolve for good, sorrow will resolve for good, all the so-called problems which you think as problems will resolve for good. Isn't it? This is a fact. Whether you like it or not, it's a fact. Whether you, no, I don't like it. I want to be eternal, no. I want to be always worshipping Bhagavan. There are many people don't like it. That's why even in sometimes they don't want this Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta, Shankara's philosophy don't want. They run away from this. They want to go to temples and they like this all the literature where they can cry, Bhagavan, stand on Bhagavan and cry and weep, and then they like all those things. Okay? Answer, sir. It's okay. Shastram, I tell you, amazing. That's why Hinduism is mosaic of things, means all forms of things are allowed here. It's all, everything is provided. In keeping with your limit, in keeping your preparedness, you are given something. This IKEA, okay? You can go to any department. So to buy anything, whatever you want. So whatever you are qualified for. This is why I say everything is available. You are immature, you're not ready, you want this bhakti, you want that bhakti, you want to worship this, you want to feel, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do. But live a life of dharma and bring Bhagavan into your picture, worship and pray. No, only one God, only worship, only this way, no. You can do anything. But in whichever form you want to worship, you can worship. A complete freedom is given. No way. That is how you will grow. Isn't it? So here what happens? So atyantam bhayam. For whom? Where is bhayam? Where is fear? Nirvikalpe samadho. In this non-duality of the reality, in accepting the vision of the non-duality of reality, they have tremendous amount of fear. Because in this accepting this vision, assimilating this vision, the very individuality will be resolved. You yourself will be resolved. You know, losing oneself is always very frightening. Therefore, Sakara Brahmanishtanam Yoginam Nirvikalpe Samadhau Atyantam Bhayam Kiti Gaudapada Chayaha Uchive. He has said this, the order of this verse. And the next ones now. Asparsha Yogo Namaishaha. Asparsha Yogo Namaishaha. Durdarsha Sarva Yogi Bihi. Durdarsha Sarva Yogi Bihi. Yogino Bibhyati Hyasmat.
Yogino
Bibhyati Hyasmat. Abhaye Bhayadarshinaha. Abhaye Bhayadarshinaha. Asparsha Yogo Namaishaha.
Asparsha Yogo Namaishaha.
Durdarsha Sarva Yogi Bihi.
Durdarsha
Sarva Yogi Bihi. yogino bibhyati hyasmat.
Yogino bibhyati hyasmat.
Abhaye bhaya darshinaha.
Abhaye bhaya darshinaha.
Now, this 29th verse, actually, literally, it has been brought from Gaudapada Acharya's Karika from Mandukya Upanishad. So, Mandukya Karika. This is not written by Vidyaranya Swami. Vidyaranya Swami has literally brought that verse, complete verse has he brought him here. He added here. It's actually Gaudapada Acharya's own words from Mandukya Karika. And there, this vision of non-duality of the reality is known as said to be Asparsha Yoga. Hope people who heard me, we already completed Mandukya Upanishad in London. So, hope they remember this. Asparsha Yoga. Asparsha Yoga. See, the knowledge of the truth. What is Asparsha Yoga? Asparsha means touching. Asparsha means untouching, non-touching. What does it mean? Asparsha Yoga means the vision of the non-duality or the oneness of the truth. We understand what is the truth. The truth is one secondless non-dual means it cannot be touched, tainted or destroyed, isn't it? It is free from everything. So untaintedness, unafflictedness, of the reality is mentioned by the word asparsha. So knowledge of the reality, which is of the nature of unafflictedness, untaintedness. If we give you an example, suppose if we say the all these waves are water, means which wave or which ocean can do any harm to the water? Or which part, the form and name part, can do any harm to the clay? Isn't it? The very wave is only a form which enjoys its existence in the very water. There is no wave at all. It is as good as non-existent. Because we are perceiving and experiencing it, we give some as a relative reality. We look at it as a relative reality, empirical reality. There is no such thing called, there is no such substance called wave minus water. Is a substance called wave? Isn't it? Water is a substance. Wave is a substantive. Is there a substance called a wave? No. There was a non-substantial form and name. How can this wave, which doesn't even exist independently, it's only appearance of the water, it do any harm to the water? And how can it touch the water, or taint the water, and afflict the water, affect the water, or destroy the water, or harm the water? It cannot do anything. The same way, see, all the physical body, or the mind, or the thoughts, not only your own body means complex, even any other body means complex, all these so-called form, body, mind, and complex, all these material manifestations, forms, names, and functions, they're all as good as what now? The wave namarupa only. The example is very easily understand. And the truth of all of them, which is one, secondless, non-dual. So the truth of all these innumerable, countless forms, names and functions, which constitute the whole jagat, the living, non-living, animate, inanimate, mobile, immobile, all these beings, are essentially one truth. All are one. Because this multiplicity, plurality, diversity is really when you're perceiving, and as a perceiver of everything, experiencer of everything, and when you have strong identity with your own body, mind, complex, all that you're perceiving are so real. Plurality is real, multiplicity is real, duality is real, divisions are real, differences are real. How real are they? They are not unreal, definitely, but are they real? They are not unreal, but how real are they? Are they real? Yes, they are real. Why are they real? because I'm perceiving, I'm experiencing. I'm transacting, I'm interacting. Isn't it? I'm interacting with the world of plurality, I'm interacting with the differences, I'm transacting with all these things, therefore, they're all very real. No, they are not unreal. We say unreal, we have a problem. They're not unreal. At the same time, they're not real. They're neither unreal nor are they real. That is why we give a different name. They cannot be defined as unreal because they are existent. Unreal means it will be non-existent. They can't be defined as real because they don't have independent existence. Therefore, what are they? That's why we give a different name. They're as though real. They're seemingly real. They're mithya. But mithya means what? Are they really there? No. They're as good as non-existent. Isn't it? But very difficult for us to understand, to accept this fact. You have to. Sorry, isn't it? All essentially one. And that truth alone is what? That is not an object. In discovering the truth, you yourself will disappear. That's why you will get knocked off. So here, and it is Asparsha Yogaha, this vision of Asparsha Yogaha in Gaudapada Acharya's language, the knowledge of the only truth which is of the nature of unafflictedness, untaintedness. It's Advaita Darshanam. To make it easy, vision of the non-duality of the reality. Asparsha Yoga. Asparsha Yogaha Nama Yeshaha. This Yoga here means the word of Yogaha, be very careful, has different meanings. In this context, the word Yogaha means knowledge, the vision of the truth, oneness of the truth. Sarva Yogi Bihi Durdarshaha. Sarva Yogi Bihi means what now? Sarva Yogi, for all the people. Yogi means all the people who are given to the practice of different disciplines. People who are given to the worship of, for whom duality is real. Perception of duality is real. And for such people, it is durdarshaha. It's very, very difficult to grasp. Oneness of the reality is very, very difficult to grasp. Durdarshaha. Very difficult to grasp. Not drashtum yog dushprapaha. Dukkhena drashtum yogyaha. Dushprapaha. It's very difficult to have this vision of the truth. Isn't it? Because it is easy to see something through sense organs, isn't it? But what is imperceptible, you have to cognitively arrive at it. Therefore, it's something difficult. And then, yoginaha vibhyate asmat. Asmat, he asmat vibhyati. And therefore, these yoginaha means these people here, sakara brahmanishtaha. Okay, sakara brahman, he repeats again. Sakara brahmanishtaha, saguna brahmanishtaha, people who are given to the dvaita bhakti. See, Shastram does not say don't have dvaita bhakti. Okay, Shastram encourages, supports, recommends the dvaita bhakti. Shastram itself tells you, pray to this god, worship this god, invoke this grace of this god, this deity, perform rituals, offer oblations, enjoy the benefits. Shastram does not say that. But only thing is, enjoy all these things by performing rituals, practicing meditations, invoking the grace of devatas, enjoying the benefits of rituals, also simultaneously learn to grow. See the limitations. Don't get stuck there itself. Isn't it? You are asked, we are living this life not to get stuck here, but to learn from life's experiences. Life itself is for what? We are living this life to learn from experiences. Isn't it? If you don't learn from life's experiences, it is like a buffalo sitting in a slush. Isn't it? Really, the life becomes a waste if we should learn from experiences. Therefore, here what he makes very clear. Yoginaha bibhyati. I told you already, bibhyati is a third person plural verb. Don't mistake it for a singular verb. Okay? Yoginaha, plural word. Yoginaha means Sakara Brahmanishtaha, people who are given to Dvaita Bhaktihi. Those people, you know, who for whom perception of duality is very real, such people, Bibhyati, Yoginaha Bibhyati. And I told you, Bhi, the root, what now? Bibheti, Bibhitaha, Bibhyati. The plural verb. These people are frightened. The Bibhyati Dhatu should always go with the fifth case of Asmat. Asmat means from this they are frightened of this vision of non-dual, frightened of Asparsha Yoga. Asparsha Yoga means the vision of non-duality. They are afraid of, frightened of this vision of non-duality of the reality. All that is, there is only the truth. There is no second thing other than the truth. There is no you, there is no he, there is no she, there is no it, there is no God, there is no Ishvara, there is no Bhagavan. All that is, there is only the truth. If at all you say, there is no God other than the truth also. Which means, we play so many roles. You have to have what now? I am the father. You feel secure. I am a son. Belong somewhere. I am a father. This is my son belongs to me, isn't it? I am a mother. I am a wife. Now I am a teacher. I am a student. So because asparsha yoge, what now? Sambandha nashyati. All the relationships will be resolved. No? And then we are the people, we always want to get stuck somewhere, sticky. You know, that's why sneha means what? Sneha, friendship itself is what? In relationships, we are desperately, emotionally needy of these relationships. And all relationships will resolve. Shastram does not say don't have relationships. When you live your life, you can't live without having relationships. But understand all these relationships are mithya. And this will come to an end also. From the standpoint of the reality, how long can you say I am related to somebody, somebody related to me? How long can you say? You can say, relatively we are related, okay. But there's no such absolute relationship. No, permanent relationship is not possible. You know why? There's no absolute relationship. I is knocked off, finished. You know, that's what? Ask the question, who are you? And discover how first of all distinguish the I. You don't even know what is I is. You don't, the problem is, you do not know what I is not. Okay? We do not know what this I is not. Therefore, we do not know what I is also. We have twofold ignorance, okay? We do not know what I is not. And we do not know, therefore, we do not know what I is also. Therefore, comfortably, isn't it? Comfortably, we have our own notion about the I. Therefore, Shastram first tells you what? First of all, ask this, what is I? You know? To understand what this I is, you have to understand what I is not. So distinguish the I. Then you see what this I is. Is it clear? So it's like the thing telling the wave, come on, oh wave, you distinguish yourself. What the wave is not, then you have to see what this wave is. Similarly, you have to distinguish yourself. And you see, and it has to be resolved. The ones you distinguish the I from what the I is not, and see the I being distinct, then you see what this I is, I will be cognitively, helplessly, it will be resolved in the truth. What is resolved means there's only truth, there's no I. This is what is real ahankara nasha, okay? There's no I. It's only truth. Don't say there's no I. I am the truth. It means the whole also is what? The truth. There's no only the truth. Then once you are the truth means, then where did it belong? What is there is only the truth. The truth doesn't belong anywhere. Nothing belongs to the truth. Truth doesn't belong anywhere. Why? Because truth is one. Secondless. Advitiyatvat. Because it is secondless. Non-dual. One. Ekam. Advitiyam. Advaitam. Therefore, doesn't belong anywhere. Nothing belongs to the truth. Therefore, how can the relationship? Relationship involves two, minimum two. And here, we feel very secure in having relationships. Isn't it? I'm a father. Means what? My children belong to me. I'm a son. Means my dad will get me everything. Isn't it? So there you feel so very secure. We always want mommy, daddy, na? Throughout life we want mom and dad. After 70 also we want mom and dad in different forms. And same old mom and dad, but if the need is actually, we always want mom and dad. We never grow. And we don't grow because we feel that. Therefore, Asparsha Yoga, I want to say, Asparsha Yoga, wife rightening. So, Asparsha Yoga Nama, Yeshaha, Sarva Yogi Bihi Durdarshaha. It is not easily recognizable. It is not graspable for everybody, all these people. And yoginaha bibhyati asma. Therefore, in which they have to knock off all the relationships and the sense of belonging, which is very, very frightening. Understand? Very, very frightening. That is why Navagrahas, no? Somebody is not well. Some, no? Of course, we want them. We wish everybody well. Nothing wrong in praying for the relief, the physical relief, the pain, physical pain, relief from physical pain or mental suffering. Nice, a very good thing to do. We have to pray for relief from pain. But, you know, we feel that our insect is all, you can see the amount of all Navagraha Pradakshinam, all these things specifically for, you know, when you go and pray, for somebody has to live forever. Don't want to lose the person. How long can they live? Somebody is very young, nothing wrong, okay? Somebody is very, very sick. Better he dies, doesn't suffer anymore. I'm not saying he should die, but we are not able to accept it. We would try our best. Under the law, we go and pray and pray and pray. I could see even in last year, even in Gurukulam, many of us, even Swamis were very, you know, they didn't want somebody to die. They were all praying, Hanuman Chalisa, do that, all different, we were doing different things. We still want, nothing wrong, even we want Swamiji to be alive with us, isn't it? We pray, but we'll be thoughtful. I was praying, no? But without suffering, but Bhagavan, they said, water is good for Swamiji's health, good for him. People can't that easily because somewhere they belong. Isn't it? Your how gross time is, you hold on to you know, the family and friends. Or sannyasi means again hold on to gurus also. So any relationship is problem. Therefore, what about the divine relationships, sacred relationships? Come on. Okay, there's no sacred relationship and the non-sacred relationship. Sacred relationship, divine relationship, any relationship God is with you. One day it will go. So we have to be very careful. Shastram does not say you should not have relationships. Understand the limitation of relationships. But be prepared. Prepare yourself to understand the truth which is free from all relationships, and that truth alone is real. That truth is your Swarup. That preparedness must be there, isn't it? That's why Dushprapaha, Durdarshaha, very difficult. Very difficult for immature people. In this verse, what he wants to say is Asparsha Yogaha Nama Durdarshaha means it is very subtle, much subtlest fact. It is for immature mind cannot grasp this fact. Cannot grasp, understand, accept this also. Even understanding, accepting is very difficult. Emotionally, we must be very strong. Intellectually, very sharp. Emotionally, very strong. And to accept this. Otherwise, people will run away. That's why it is not, even Mandukya Upanishad itself, we say, we are not supposed to allow people to listen to Mandukya Upanishad classes if they are not prepared. Somebody comes straight to Mandukya Upanishad class, we'll say no. No way, and they'll go back and get all sorts of problems. Emotionally, they'll be disturbed. Understand? That's why people, the Shastram is so logical and so beautiful, so systematic, it prepares. Systematic study of Shastram is very different from people who teach just some yoga, the pranayama, and that and this. They don't even see hidden tell of what they're talking. They teach some techniques, okay, some yoga and meditation. They become very popular, they can talk very well. That doesn't mean that they can give you clarity. Doesn't matter how popular the speaker is, how big he is, how much he's able to attract the crowds, no. How wise he sounds on the stage, no, doesn't not matter. How much he can clarify your head, that is the important. People sound very intellectual sometimes, no, but doesn't, no, because they sound very intellectual, very eloquent. And they sound very attractive, impressive. And if you see the big crowd going, oh, then you get attracted to seeing the crowd. But you should always, Swamiji always tells this, ask what is there for me? In what way does it help my, you know, my garbage to, how can I get my cobwebs, you know, cleared? Okay, so Sarva Yogi Bihi Asparsha Yogaha Nama Yeshaha Durdarshaha. So, yoginaha asmat bibhyati. All people are very frightened of this vision of non-duality because our relationship will go away. And then, abhaye bhayadarshinaha. Next, very beautiful. Abhaye bhayadarshinaha. See, for a man of what is really a source of fearlessness, what is source of fearlessness? Advaitam or Dvaitam, non-duality of the reality, oneness of the truth is a source of fearlessness, or duality, divisions are source of fearlessness. If you ask, actually speaking, Advaite Abhayam. Advaitam is Abhayam. The vision of non-duality of the reality is something where one can resolve a phenomenon called fear for good. So, utter fearlessness, absolute strength, Now, only when you are absolutely strong, you can be, even the compassion also becomes your virtue, not your qualification. Okay? I have to talk about the difference between qualification and virtues later on. I will tell you here. So, the source of fearlessness, abhayam, is what? Advaita darshanam. In the vision of non-duality of the reality, there is utter fearlessness. In dvaite, dvaita dibhayam bhavati. The fear is because of the wish perception. As long as perception of duality is real, there will be fear. As long as this divisions, as long as the duality, as long as perception of duality is real for you, there will be sense of insecurity. There will be fear. There will be anxiety. Isn't it? Therefore, abhaye bhayadarshinaha. But here, unfortunately, because of the lack of preparedness, lack of maturity, lack of sharpness, lack of emotional strength, what happens? The abhayam, advaitam, the vision of non-duality, which is the actual source of fearlessness, becomes what now? Source of fear for them. It becomes a very fright, not source of fear, frightening for them. Abhaye bhayadrish, where there is no fear at all, and that, let's look at it as, what now? Fear, frightening. Isn't it? That which is source of fearlessness is looked at as the as very frightening. Bhayadarshinaha. Relationships all will lose. Actually, you don't physically lose any relationships. Cognitively, you understand the fact, where is the relationships?
Bhagavat Pujya Padascha Sushkatarkapatu Namun
Bhagavat Pujya Padascha
Sushkatarkapatu Namun
Sushka tarka patu namun
ahur
madhyamikan bhrantan
achintyesmin sadatmani.
So Vidyaranya Swami, with the great reverence for Acharya Shankara Bhagavatpada, he mentions here Bhagavat Pujya Padaha. Adishankara Bhagavat, see, we never use singular, na? Respect. Bhagavat Pujya Padaha means Shankara Bhagavat Padaha. And he calls these people Madhyamikan. Shankara Bhagavat Pada, in all his commentaries, everywhere, wherever he refutes this Buddhist, the Shunyavada, and there he calls them highly confused, deluded people. Bhrantan ahuhu. See, you have to be very careful here, okay? Oh my God, people who are very emotionally very weak, they mistake us. It's a very healthy argument. We are not, you know, when we say Shankara Bhagavat Padaha calls these people Bhrantan ahuhu, calls these people who are Madhyamikan Bhrantan ahuhu. He called, always he mentioned, in his commentaries, he refers to those people, Madhyamika Bhuddhas, the Shunyavadis, as what? Confused, deluded people, Bhrantaha. Deluded people. Does it mean that he belittles them? See, we do not deny how Buddhas are intelligent. The intelligence is not denied, the sharpness is not denied. Okay, but the limitation, sharpness, limitation in the intelligence is accepted. We have to accept. Okay, nobody is totally dead. They have a lot of buddhi. But there's a limitation. Something is preventing them from seeing right correctly. And not so they also live a they're all ahimsa vadinaha. So complete, they live a life of dharma. They have certain value structure. We respect their value, the way the life of values. They also, they highly, they follow ahimsa paramo dharma as a Vedic vision. Vedic, why the Veda teaches ahimsa paramo dharma is a Vedic dharma, Vedika dharma. Okay? And which is enjoined by the Veda, this timeless vision of the Veda. So Buddha also is what? Buddha is option of Hinduism, isn't it? We also was born in India only. So he also recommends, supported that. So the Buddhists follow ahimsa, the non-violence, the life of non-injury, non-hurting, all the values they follow. Satyam, then we respect that their life, way of how they live. They're compassionate and everything is fine. We don't deny anything else of Buddhas. We accept them. Understand where, but we should be very prudent and intelligent to see where they are wrong also. Sometimes people who are very righteous, very given, very highly ethical, because people are who are ethical is very, very important. We have to respect people who are ethical, definitely. But with due respect to their being ethical, we also have to see if they are not right in their perceptions and their vision, we should tell them with due respect to what they are. Still, we have to see where they are wrong also. Not to hurt their feelings, but our own clarity. We have to be strong enough. So Shankara Bhagavat Pujya Padaha Ahuhu, in all his commentary, always mentions how these Madhyamikaha are Bhrantaha. They were always confused people. They're deluded. Okay? Some people, Vipassana meditation, they do that and this, so what? Finally, what do they want you to attain? People, whole jagat is talking about Vipassana meditation. So what? We don't deny it. Vipassana meditation is one of the techniques to discipline the mind. But that is not the end for us. That meditation is not going to remove your ignorance. Therefore, it is not going to give you the vision of the truth. So it will not, it cannot remove the ignorant problems caused by ignorance. Your problem should be analyzed thoroughly, understood, and solution must be understood thoroughly also. So here in this context, Vidyarani Swami mentions Bhagavat Pujya Padaha Madhyamikan Brahmtan Ahuhu. Then Sushka Tarka Patun Amun. See, Patuhu means expert. Patuhu means very clever. A very efficient expert. Patu Patavaha. So Patun. He called these are all Tarka Patun. These Buddhists are great. They use reasoning, logics, highly logical. They try to be very, very logical. Fantastic. In Veda also, we use logic to support what is said in the Veda. Logic as the pramanam. As well, Vedanta is not illogical. Okay? Veda is not illogical. Why? Because we also use logics to support the Vedantic views. To show how Veda is not illogical. At the same time, but Veda is the pramanam for the Vedikas. Whereas these Bauddhas, what do they do? Tarka Patavaha. They are experts in using the logics. They're very much given to reasoning. Tarka Patavaha. But Sushka. Shankara calls Sushka Tarka Patavaha. They are very given to the dry logic. They're experts in what now? Simply present this argument, presenting the arguments using the dry logic. What is dry logic? Is it a wet logic or what? No. Sushka means, what does it mean? Dry logic means without taking the support of the Veda Shastram. The Bauddhas do not accept the Veda as the Pramana. So without taking Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, using only their own reasoning, and they're very intelligent. Because their blood is what? Indian, na? Originally they're offshoot hit. Already they use. Buddha also got lots of ideas from there. Because he was born and brought up and raised in Vedic culture. Is it? So naturally he picked up a lot of things, he used them, but he did not accept Veda. I respect Buddha a lot for the ahimsa, everything. But we have to be bold enough to differ from where he is now viewed. Where he is wrong, we have to be very, very bold also. Oh, Buddha, the whole world is bowing to Buddha. We are all Indians. How can we say? I'm not saying we all, of course, I bow to Buddha myself. But with due respect to how he lived, that is a different thing. But I have to say where he was not right. Especially what he was. And his Bauddhik, this Madhyamaka Bauddhika, he has four groups of branches. Four branches in Buddhism. And his Madhyamikas are the Shunyavadis. And they are very clear, 100% they say nothing is there. The universe suddenly came into existence. Isn't it? Shunyavada, because they can't accept. That's why the reason was given all this. Why they hold on to Shunyavada? Because they can't accept losing the individuality. They want written individuality. That is why the fear. How beautifully analyzed, no? So he says, now he is Sushka Patavaha. Sushka Tarka Patavaha. Sushka Tarka Patavaha means they are experts in presenting the arguments using the dry logic means, without accepting the Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, they use only logics. Therefore, what happened now? They are deprived of seeing the subtle, much subtlest truth. Isn't it? See, when you have to see something very big and bright, and then in your within the vicinity of your sense organs, you can easily see things. Isn't it? To see an apple or a mango or a buffalo or something, a tree, a flower, colors, you don't need a microscope. Your eyes are enough. Perfect. If you have some any power, you can have some extra, you can have some extra spectacles. Even added support because you have some power problem. Pairing spectacles can see simply all these objects. But you're asked to see some germs, microbes. And you are proved to have a very good vision. Still, you see, however nice and distortion free your eyes are, vision you have, still you cannot see through your physical eyes. I do not deny the power and the capacity of your eyes. You have very good eyes. But when the question of seeing the microbes come, definitely your eyes need the aid of support of microscope. Isn't it? So you can see things, okay, you can see the twinkle, twinkle, little star up above, the world so high. You see this, you can simply see here some twinkling, la la, it is not twinkling, little star, isn't it? You can sing all those things, but still we know it's not twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's a Mahan star, great star, isn't it? Incomprehensibly big star. We don't even know what the stars are about. Simply singing, isn't it? It is our pulse, it's okay, seeing from here. But really to see what it is, just because you're singing with this rhyme has become gone into buddhi, doesn't mean it's right. You need a telescope, isn't it? To see your eyes are okay. Your eyes are good enough. We do not doubt at all the capacity of your eyesight. Vision of the power of your vision. But still, when to see something which is beyond your perception, You need what now? Definitely telescope. In the same way here, nobody questions this Madhyamika Buddha's intelligence and sharpness of intellect. We don't question. They are amazingly sharp people. They are very, really, very intelligent people. Without the Shah, they come up to this. Shunyavada. Amazing, brilliant people. But the problem is, with the sharpest intellect, what they cannot see on their own, they need a pramanam, extra pramanam. But unfortunately, they deny the Shastra pramanam. When you deny the Shastra pramanam, and however brilliant you are, however sharpest is your intellect, using your own intellect, you can maximum come to this point, you will say what? Nothingness. You can never resolve. So he says, Sushka Tarka Patavaha means, Bauddhas do not accept Veda as a pramanam, as a means of knowledge. They use their own intellectual sharpness to present their arguments with using their reasoning. Therefore, what happens? They're Brantaha. They continue to be deluded. They're not able to have the vision of the truth, isn't it? Which is beyond the scope of intellect. You have to bring in the Shastra Pramana. Why they are deprived? Is it because they are not intelligent? No, they are intelligent enough. Understand, we do not doubt their intelligence, sharpness, but they don't have adequate pramanam. So Shankara Bhagavatpada, here Vidyarana Swami indirectly using Shankara Bhagavatpada's words, he emphasizes what now? For us, the importance of Shastra Pramanam. Achintye Asmin Sadatmani needs a lot of unfoldment. I think I'll take it for the next week. So, Madhyamikan Branta Nahuhu Sushka Tarkapatu Namun. I'll stop with that. So I explained that one. Achintye Asmin Sadatmani. Something needs a lot of unfoldment. We'll keep it for next week. The one quarter of the verse is still to be unfolded. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.